Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran at the 2022 Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium. My guest is Dr. Terry Fonstead, the Associate Vice President Research with the University of Saskatchewan. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Fonstead.
Happy to be here.
As part of Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium 2022, you discussed the topic Alternative Methods for Deadstock Management. First of all, why has deadstock management become such a top-of-mind issue?
Well, prior to 2002 when BSE came, we had rendering plants that would pick up all the deadstock because it had value. You could make meat and bone meal out of it, and you could use it for a feedstock. But when the BSE came, all of a sudden, the rendering plants couldn't use it. They became a cost. Then they had to start charging for picking it up. Well, then people started to realize that there was a cost to deadstock management and look for other options.
How is deadstock in the swine sector typically addressed at this stage, and what are the limitations?
Well, it really depends on your type of barn. So if it's a, you know, if it's a high security barn, if it's at the front of the system like a sow barn, you really got tight security. If it's a feeder barn, maybe you're doing you can let the rendering plant pick up there. But then it depends on where you are, how far you are from those kind of services. It depends on the geology of the site. It depends on what kind of operation it is. So I guess the answer is it depends.
What are the alternatives that are available?
Well, if you're going to handle them yourself, so if you're going to deal with them on farm, well, then obviously you can try to bury them, you can incinerate them, you can compost them, are probably the main options.
When managing deadstock, what are the key considerations in determining the method that should be used?
Well, key considerations, if you're going to bury, is, of course, geology. It's the strength of the liquid that results and the amount of it is actually about four times that of manure. So you want to make sure your geology, if you're going to try burying them, is such that you're not going to get transport. If you're going to consider composting, well, then you actually have to, you're going to need a carbon source. So you need either wood chips or you need straw, or you, and then you need someone nearby that's going to take the compost. And if you're going to burn them, you could build an incinerator, but then there are quite tight restrictions on particulate matter to actually reach, you gotta meet these requirements. So.
Zeroing in on a burial, what are the implications? What are the factors that need to be considered?
Well, like I said, the big consideration is the geology, the fluid conductivity of the soil. So the permeability of the soil is the big one. So if it's low enough and stuff isn't going to, water can't flow through the pores, you don't really have a problem. But if water can flow through the pores and you've got any kind of groundwater anywhere near, well, then you're not going to want to use burial. Or you've got to line it. Well, then liners cost money, and if a liner gets punctured, and so there's all those considerations.
What are the longer-term implications of burial?
Well, the longer-term implications is it's just like a lagoon. It's just forevermore, that site, even if it's decommissioned and everything leveled and pushed in, on the title of that site is going to be somewhere there's going to be a nitrogen source or a nitrogen storage bubble in the soil. And again, as long as it's not, if it's got the high permeability or low permeability soil, it's not going to go anywhere. But forevermore, it's part of the site.
What are the main factors that need to be considered with composting, and why?
Well, composting, if you're raising sows and you're raising them in a concrete barn with slats and no bedding, well, then, of course, you haven't got a carbon source. So you've started out with this mass of nitrogen and a 5-to-1 carbon to nitrogen ratio, and you're trying to get it up to 30. So I got to haul in straw or wood chips or something to get the carbon to nitrogen. So now I have more material than I started with. And then in our weather, if you're going to compost in the winter, you got to have about 2 feet or 0.6 meters of blanket around this stuff of material. So then I've got to have that material plus a bed of it to sit on. And so at the end of the day, I may end up with a substantial more amount of stuff than I started with, and then I got to haul it away. So it takes effort, it takes labor, and it takes material to compost. It does work, though. So,
what are the key factors that need to be considered with shallow burial composting, and why?
Well, shallow burial is only 2 feet down, and you bury the straw deadstock mix. But again, in our climate with the colder weather, they don't seem to deteriorate as quickly as they do in warmer weather. So then it's a time thing. You still want to have them in a high spot so they're not subject to flooding. You know, we haven't tried trees or something, but poplar trees might be a way to keep the nutrients near the surface. But it's going to take time to break that material down, and it's it may take quite a few years. And if you have a really dry spot, you may just have bones that sort of mummify. And so, but it can be farmed over. The nutrients are close enough to the surface that plant roots can get to them, and so there's some advantages. So.
How practical is incineration?
In my opinion, I don't think it's terribly practical. It's just with the volume of animals, it might be okay if you've got one or two a week, but to put energy into getting rid of something that you actually, you might as well compost it then or render it. Like there's, it's got value as a nutrient. Burning it off, just throwing money at to throw money away. So,
what is the take-home message for producers?
Well, it really depends on where you are. Everybody's going to have their own situation, so I think it's crunch the numbers. The message is they are your deads. They're not the rendering plant's deads. They're not society deads. They are yours. But depending on your biosecurity and depending on your management and where you are, there are solutions out there. You know, I know composting does work. If you can get it to a rendering plant, there is value in the tallow, and there is value in the meat and bone meal from an energy standpoint, as we've shown. But it really does depend on where you are, what the geology of the site is, and what your management practices are.
And is there anything you would like to add?
No, I think I've got it. So.
Thank you very much.
Good. Thanks, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. Terry Fonstead, the Associate Vice President, Research at the University of Saskatchewan. At Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium 2022 in Saskatoon, I'm Bruce Cochran.